You know, as adults, isn't it great that we know that God has given us everything we need to be what God intends for us to be in Him? It's already done. The factor is that we have to be willing to listen to Him, die to ourselves, set everything aside, and focus on Him and do what He wants us to do. And that's not robbery to us. That's life for us. As we no longer live for ourselves, but truly live for God, we will discover the wonders that God wants to do in our lives. He's already empowered us to be the people He wants us to be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that You will just bless this and that You will carry it to every heart and every listening ear. And I pray, Father, that we'll receive from You what You want us to receive and that You would be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. So over the last few weeks, I've been talking about things that help us to start out our new year right. Things that we need to do, okay, to help us to have a good new year. We always look at January 1st as the first day of the new year. But we're going to take a little Jewish route this morning, okay? Did you know that the Jewish people celebrate their new year in the fall? And last fall, the Jewish new year began on Sunday, September 25th. You may have heard of it before. It's called Rosh Hashanah. Hashanah, okay? Rosh Hashanah. That's celebrating the new year. The Jews used the holiday to commemorate the creation of the world. Hey, we celebrate the new year because it's party time. It's a world perspective, right? Or what's the new year going to have for us? What are we going to get from it? The Jews commemorate the creation of the world, and it marks the beginning of the days of awe. A 10-day period of introspection. Isn't that opposite? That's, you know, we might say, okay, my New Year's resolution is this. I don't like New Year's resolutions because they're always, not always, but typically can end up in disappointment, right? But the Jews look, they take 10 days in that new year in the fall to look at themselves, to have introspection. And in that, they look at the things of their life that God doesn't like, and they find themselves yielding to God in repentance, and that culminates in Yom Kippur, or what is also called the Days of Atonement. So they're looking at, God created everything, God created me, and I am created out of His hands, and I look at my life, and I see where my life is with God, and anything that I see that isn't right, I look to God and I ask God to forgive me for that and make it right. And we, through confession and repentance, find that in Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's atoned for our sin. He's taken away that sin. So the Jewish people begin their year at Rosh Hashanah by examining themselves and repenting of sins. That's a bit different than our new year, isn't it? Right? That puts their feet on solid ground for having a good year. I want to have a good year. We all want to have a good year. Whether you're Jewish or not, you celebrate the year for wanting to have a good year ahead. But the perspective is different. The Jewish perspective is that we're reflective of our own relationship with God. We give God the glory as our creator, and we yield ourselves over to Him to lay down a stronger foundation for us to have a good year. Non-Jewish will think, well, I hope this year is good. The other is more practical. Let's lay down some principles. So I think you and I can understand that evaluating ourselves and making sure that we're right with God is a good way to start off a new year. Should be a regular basis as we recognize our shortcomings in Christ on a daily basis. We should acknowledge that and repent of that and keep walking closely to God. So we also spoke a little bit about self-examination over the last few weeks. On January 1st, I said we needed to subtract excess luggage, like sin, from our lives so that we are better able to add God's purpose to our lives. I like that. If we're honest with ourselves before God and we're willing, David said, I open myself up, fillet me open. In other words, just slice me wide open, fillet me open, examine everything that's in me, tell me what's not right so that I can make it right with You. It's one thing for you and I to say, I know where I've goofed, I know where I've fallen short, and we confess and repent that. It's another thing to go a step further and say, God, just look at all of me and tell me what I've done wrong so I can make it right. Wow. We generally don't want to open up that floodgate, do we? And yet David had that kind of a heart, right? And to subtract the things from our lives that we know that dishonor God, and then allow that to be that area that we can replace it with the things that God wants to put into our lives that are good. Learning how to remove the flesh so that the Spirit of God can work in our lives in a way that is new to us, that's good. And so we need to think about that as we're following Christ. I know this is my life. I know it's not good for my walk with Jesus. And I'm going to acknowledge that and repent of that. But I'm also not going to stop there. I'm going to look to God to replace it. But I believe it was Billy Graham that said that, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along this line because it was a lot of years ago. But I remember him saying, whatever God calls us to give up, he has something far greater to put in its place. And that's something that we need to hold on to. And it's not a robbery. Satan will try to convince us that to give up something for the cause of our relationship with Christ is a loss and to our detriment. But God says, no, you give it up for me, and I'll replace it with something far greater in your life. I'll take the far greater things of God in my life over the sinful things in my life. Right? Because we want to have that rich relationship with God, with him. So last week I spoke about not bearing the fruit of the flesh or sin, but instead bear the fruit of the Spirit by being wind walkers, by letting God influence us so we can influence others. We need to recognize that we walk in and with the Holy Spirit. Right? We need to recognize in our walk, I was trying to formulate this morning as a side note, that we have to be sensitive to the awareness of the Spirit of God in our life and how we're walking in step with him. And the scripture refers to that as walking circumspectfully. That means taking careful step each step of the way. It means being aware and sensitive enough with your walk with God that God says, and you acknowledge that and you maybe don't go in that direction and you back up. Or you ignore it and you fall in sin, but then you confess and you repent. But we need to be willing to make those acknowledgments before God so that we can keep ourselves in step with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? We want to have the awareness of the Spirit of God being close to us. And the only way we can do that is by denying ourselves, yielding to God, and let God do his work, because he's already given us everything we need to be all the great things that God has in store for each one of our lives, which will bring glory to him. So the Jewish people use a catch-all greeting for the entire season, Shana Tova, which means good year. Okay, it's kind of like when we say Happy New Year to those we greet. The word Shana is year in Hebrew, and the definition for year is to repeat or do again. We were talking about this in Sunday school. Olin touched on it just a little bit, where, the seasons, we've got summer, fall, winter, spring, and we know the climate of each of those seasons, and it repeats every year. We see that, all right? So, Shana is year in Hebrew, and the definition for year is to repeat or do again. The natural realm, the year, is a repetition of what already has been done. So hang in there with me for a moment. Can we find ourselves getting in a rut of doing the same thing over and over and over and never really seeing growth or change in our life? So we need to figure out how to get out of that mode so that we can be more and more the people that God wants us to be. You see, in the natural realm, the year is a repetition of what has already been. The earth revolves around the sun again. The seasons, like I said, repeat, winter, spring, summer, fall. Flowers bloom, they die, and repeat, and again, and they grow. And just as nature repeats, we tend to repeat because we are creatures of habit. This is how we function. We've established ourselves this way. We can find ourselves in that habit of life that's repetitious year after year. I think that's why some people will, Christians even, will come to the end of their life and they go, is that what life is about? It's the same old thing over and over until I come here. In other words, they don't see or have not witnessed the power and the work of God working in their lives with purpose that affects the now and eternity, to where they say, look what God has done. And we can't acknowledge that. We can't experience that unless we're walking close with the Spirit of God and allowing Him to work through our lives to shape us and make us into the people that He wants us to be. If we're not yielding to God and His directive in our life, our life will just continue to be the same in our character. And that's not what we should be looking at. Just as nature repeats, we tend to repeat because we are creatures of habit. But this unique Hebrew word, shana, for year, also means change. Change is significant. Some people don't like change. I like the security of everything being the same. I don't, you know, Gregory hated change. Do not, when we got our, when we traded our minivan in for a custom van, right? The captain chairs and all that stuff. I held him the whole time because he cried because he did not want his old van to go away. Don't paint the house a different color. Oh, no. Don't do that. He did not like change. But you and I have to be willing to accept change because that's the seed that God has given us by His Spirit that lives in us. We not only have the security or the dowry of the deposit of the Holy Spirit confirming in our heart, in our spirit, that God is in our heart and that we are united with Him. But in that, He's given us the seed, all the components needed for us to be that vessel, that person that God wants us to be. But that seed has to change to become that apple tree or whatever it is. It has great change. So we have to be willing to embrace change if we're going to follow the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will challenge us to change, one, by letting go of the things that we know that we shouldn't have in our life, and two, by embracing the new things that God wants us to embrace. Following Him is a new life. It brings new life, not the routine. It's the wow factor. What, God? Sure, God? Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. And we listen to Him and we follow Him. All right? So the way of the world is to repeat, but the way of God is the way of newness and change. Now you might ask yourselves, do you like newness and change? Well, you say, well, in this world and in the materialism of this world or the standard of routine of my life, I like the consistency. I feel secure there. But in our spiritual walk with God, we should embrace the change and the work of God's hand in our life so He can make us the people He wants us to be. Amen? Right? Are we willing to embrace what God has for us? And we need to be all that God's called us to be. Just as we see the new year as an opportunity to start fresh and make good changes in our lives, we see that represented in nature each new year. Okay? We see the repeat in nature, but also the changes that come to new life. We see the new flowers coming up. We planted bulbs in my father-in-law's yard. We brought bulbs down from his house up in Shingle Springs as a memory thing, okay? And so we planted them in his front yard, and the first year they were pretty wimpy, and they didn't look real super healthy. And Torin planted bulbs. And we got them all in there. But this year, they're thick and they're green and they're blooming. And that's change. We don't want to be just that initial step. We want to be the fullness that God wants us to be in Him. And that comes by being willing to embrace what God the Holy Spirit is telling us to let go of and to embrace as well that which God would have us to apply to our lives in Him so we can grow into that new creation. So as winter represents death and is followed by spring, when we die to ourselves through Christ, we can rise to newness of life and change. The illustration this morning in Sunday school was that summer, in my mind, represents the life and ministry of Jesus. Fall represents the death of Christ, as the leaves falling off the trees and the red leaves and all the coloring, like he's bleeding on the tree, on the cross. Winter represents his tomb, but spring represents his resurrection of new life. And that's, God continuously wants to build new life in our life. He doesn't want it to be the same. He doesn't want it to be unchanged. He wants it to be a life that is continually changing in growth, in quality, in purpose for him and his glory. And we have to decide if that's what we want to embrace, because that involves simply embracing Jesus. So Romans 6, 4 through 6 says this, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." God wants us to walk in the newness of life. Doesn't newness have a connotation of brightness and joy and refreshment? Right? That's newness. God wants us to walk in the newness of life in him. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." How are you and I in the likeness of his death? One, we've received him as our Savior, and we've been bought with a price, and we've been called to die to ourselves. And so we die to ourselves that we might know new life in him, like a seed that dies and plants it and brings new life. "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Sin is what robs us of the fullness of life. Sin is what robs us of the joy of being right with God and having that freedom in Jesus that exposes a newness in life that we would never experience if we didn't embrace him. So we have been raised to a new life, no longer to be slaves of sin or slaves of self. We are a new creation. Now listen, we are a new creation, a peculiar people. Peculiar means one of a kind, no one else, like a snowflake. Now I'm not saying you're snowflakes, but I'm saying, but like a snowflake, that there's not one alike. We're all called as individuals of God with our own beauty, our own attributes. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So ask yourself a question. Do you believe that? That's God's word. If anyone is in Christ, you've received Christ as your Savior. He's in us. We're in him. He is a new creation. We've been made new in him. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, what if you're not experiencing that? I mean, God came in and he's promised that we're made new and we're a new creation in him. But we won't experience that new creation if we're not willing to love him first more than ourselves. And if we do that and we turn away from the things that God said we shouldn't do and we turn to the things of his righteousness and the things that are right and pleasing to him, we'll find a fullness and a richness in our life that will only manifest the power of God in our life and give us freedom in him that we've never experienced before. So, like I told the kids, we need to open up the apple and reveal the seed. We need to remove what is hiding that new creation and let it grow. The reason why, when I said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And I asked the question, have you experienced that newness? If you haven't experienced that newness, it's because you're not willing to cut away the flesh, cut away the things that hinder us from experiencing the new life that God has already given us. God has given you and I new life in him. And we can only experience that new life as we die to ourselves and live for him. We need to remove what is hiding that new creation. In that, think for a moment. We have a new creation that many have hid and never come to know or experience. But if we're willing to do and follow and walk in step with the Spirit of God and love Jesus and love what he instructs us to do and yield to him, then we'll find that newness of life. And it's exposed. People will see more of Jesus in each of us. So let's read again the verses I shared with the kids, Ephesians 4:22 through 24. That you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We know the attributes of our old man. We know the shortcomings that we have. We know our vulnerabilities, but we need to learn to put those things off. Take them off, cut them away from our life. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let God give us a new perspective on life. Let God teach us his thinking, his ways. His teachings and his ways are not like the world. The wisdom of God is not like the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world is foolishness and always evolving. The wisdom of God is solid and eternal. And so when we experience him, we gain that new understanding and perspective in life that only comes from him, that doesn't come from the world or ourself. That's exciting. God says, I'm going to give you a perspective that you've never seen before, and it's coming from my throne to you. And it's not from the world, and it's not from you. It's from me to you. And as you hear this new perspective, as you learn this new perspective, you will experience a fuller life in me as you apply that perspective to your life. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God and true righteousness and holiness. God's put the seed of life in us, and he wants us to experience that new life. He wants us, just think about it. That little seed of that apple or a mustard seed or a celery seed or a seed in a banana, those little dark spots, coming in and forming into a huge tree. That transformation from that point to the end point is tremendous. God wants us to experience the tremendous growth and newness of life that he has for us, that he's already empowered us to have. So to cover it up is to deceive ourselves. But to relinquish ourselves for the sake of knowing Christ and him developing us into what he wants us to be is really fullness of life. Once a person accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, then change should be seen. Amen? Yeah. When a person proclaims their faith in Jesus Christ, follows through in baptism, and they're babes in Christ, but we should see growth. Because the growth comes from them and us yielding to God, saying, God, you're first. You're who I love most. You're the one I want to follow. You're the one that I want to know from you, the purpose and the direction you have for my life. So if old bad habits and or sins are not becoming less and disappearing, then we need to take steps to renew our mind. We need to say, what is it that I'm not doing that's interfering with me not growing in Christ the way God wants me to grow? Right? One of my all-time favorite life verses, you've heard me mention it many times, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I love that challenge, the mystery of what's hidden in Christ, in me, in you. And first time I read that, I said, what do you mean I died? I'm alive. My heart's ticking. I'm right here. I'm breathing air. I'm living, whatever. What do you mean I died? I died to myself. I have taken myself off the throne of my heart as my top priority. And I have put Christ on the throne of my heart as the priority. And therefore, I've died to myself. And by doing that and yielding to God, God begins to reveal to us the life that he's hidden within us. He begins to reveal that seed, that purpose that was specific for your life and my life, a new creation. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We need to deliberately seek our new life with Christ. If we're not deliberately seeking new life in Christ, we're not deliberately cutting away things that God doesn't want in our life. Meaning, he said, God, I want the fullness of the richness of your life because you want to bless me that way and you want me to bring you glory and you want a rich relationship with me and I with you. And so let me die to myself and live for you. To seek our new life in Christ so we can change or grow, we need to be those wind walkers I spoke about last week. As God is, you know, the sailboats I had in the water and the wind blowing, I had the kids blowing on the sails. And it's the acknowledgement that the wind is going in that direction. You know, sailing vessels, as I read in my history books, that the sailing vessels were really in dead water when the wind wasn't blowing. They couldn't get away from the enemy unless the wind was blowing. And we need to be aware of the Spirit of God moving and not pressing us, because he's not going to demand of us in the sense of he wants us to follow him because we want to. But when we sense the power of God pushing us in a certain direction, then we can know that God is working a good thing in our lives, and we need to be willing to follow him that way. So we need to walk through this life with God's wind at our back, letting his Holy Spirit empower us and influence us. In Isaiah 43:18-19, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Why is that important? Because Satan will throw the dirt in our face of our past for the purpose of bogging us down and robbing us of the life God wants us. Let go of the past. Behold, I will do a new thing. Praise God. Now it shall spring forth. God's doing a new thing in your life and in my life, and it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know what that means? We might look at Kalinga on a very dry day and say there's no way that water is running in that creek. But we see water running in the creek or behind your house, right? In other words, God can take what looks like it's impossible with no hope and pave a way in that impossibility to reveal his life and purpose for us. And that's exciting. I mentioned a few weeks ago, don't cling to onto the past. God wants to do a new thing in your life. Is that exciting? It's exciting to think that God wants to do a new thing in your life. Now, if you've held on to, I don't like change, that might be a little bit challenging. But if you're willing to say, God, I want to embrace you and that new thing that you have for my life, then we're going to find a new life that we never thought was possible. Like that little seed you'd never think would grow up into an apple tree. A new life. God wants to make a road in your wilderness or a river in your desert. He wants to help you through the tough times. He wants to bless you. He wants to guide you. He wants to prepare the way for you. God wants to bring good changes in your life. Praise God. God wants to bring good change in our lives. Praise God. As you go through this new year, the Shana, pay attention on how things repeat and yet still change. Let your observations be a constant reminder of how God is bringing good changes that bless and help you. If we see God growing us in him, if our relationship with him is growing deeper and richer, and we see the power of God working in our lives and we've not experienced before, we're seeing the newness of life that's shaping us into the people he wants us to be for him. And we can praise him for that. So I guess I might say, don't walk around like a bunch of apples. You know, learn to get down to the seed of the matter and let God do his miraculous living life work in you. Okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. You only want to bless us. You only want to grow us. You only want to develop us to be like you, to be the person and the people that you want us to be in you. You want us to experience a definitive awareness of letting go of of the flesh, the past, the sin, the darkness, letting go of the things that don't produce fruit that glorifies you, and then embracing the newness of life, the new things, the new changes that you have in our life, that we will find the freedom and fullness and richness of life in you that you intend for us to have, that we will look at and say, how magnificent is our God? How great is God's love for us? Look what God is doing in and through my life for him. Praise God. And I just pray that you help our hearts to ponder these things and to yield to you. In Jesus' name, amen.